Hi, Aaron. All right. Hey, Travis. Thank you. All right. So if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. Is my lapel on? So I can step away? Sweet. Okay. So if you guys think I'm nervous today, I'm definitely not nervous. And if you think different, just keep it a secret. Don't tell anyone else. And yeah, we'll just go from there. So this sermon is going to be, I don't know how to explain it, maybe a little bit more like a fire hose. I don't know, maybe a buffet where I'm going to present a bunch of different options and you kind of come and pick what you want. I like to do deep dives, but for some reason I felt the Lord wasn't giving me a liberty to kind of drill down into something, but more so something that will provide a bunch of different principles and kind of just go from there. So 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, goes on to say, "For other foundation can no man lay upon that than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward, and if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire." All right, let's pray. Dear Jesus, you are very good to us. You've given us so many blessings in our lives. You've given us the opportunity to live here in this great country, given us this opportunity to be here at Hiles Anderson and learn more about you, grow closer to you, meet friends that can be lifelong friends, Lord. And just please help this sermon, help us to grasp the truths, the principles that you want us to learn, Lord. Just thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your provision. In your name I pray, amen. And so we read this, and to me this is a sobering story, sobering time. When you read this, and you're here at judgment, and you're sitting before God, and your works are thrown onto this, whatever it is, pyre, altar, and God's eternal flame comes and hits your works, what's going to happen? Everything you've done through your life, all your actions, everything, all the sacrifices you've made, or all the deeds you've done, and that fire hits your works, is it going to withstand? Is it going to be precious metals and precious stones? Or are these works that we're doing, our motivations were flawed, our actions were wrong, and this eternal flame burns up all our works, and we see what we've done through our life at this point, and we're looking at it, and it just burns away, and you're like, man, what a waste. God gave me this vapor of time. God gave me this time of my life that when you're there at that day, when you're watching that happen, whatever you did, you don't have a redo. When you're watching that, the fire comes, and you just got to accept the results. What happens? Is all your works gone? And like, wow, okay. And this verse says, if your work survived because it's precious metals and stones, you'll get a reward. Are you going to get a reward? Or are you going to get a, well, hey, at least you made it. At least you're here. At least you're saved. Come on in. Are you going to get a well done? Is Lord going to give you a well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or is Lord going to say, well, at least I know you. At least you're saved. At least you put your faith in me. Yeah, come on in. And, you know, but at this time, at that time, whatever happens, that's it. And if we look at, let's see here, Luke 14, 28, it goes on to say, "For which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, counteth the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it, lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold him again mock him, saying, this man built and was not able to finish." So we have a builder, someone who was wanting to build a tower. And so to build the tower, he had to envision this tower. He had to make plans for this tower. He had to understand, okay, what does it take to build a tower? And it's going to take some skilled labor. It's going to take some materials. It's going to take some capital. It's going to take some money. You're going to have to bring other people along. There's a lot that goes into building a tower. Permits, you got to get it approved, accepted. And at the end of the day, you got to plan this out. And then you got to commit actions to building this tower. And that is very similar when we're trying to get ready for that day when our works are going to be tried by fire. We have to have a plan now. We don't have a plan now. Our time, we will squander our time by menial things and things that don't matter, vain things and empty things. And having a plan now allows us to, hey, one day I want to build this tower. One day I want to get to that day when I'm in front of Jesus and I want to have something to be able to offer, something that's not going to burn away in eternal fire. Something that, hey, you know what? I made an impact. I made a difference in other people's lives, and my works can stand up through God's fire. And so then in Romans 13, 11, "And that knowing the time that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Okay, so another point, you know, I'm building something here, and then we'll get into the sermon. And so another point here is time, the preciousness of time. Very few things are more valuable than time. Once you spend time, once you spend a minute, you'll never get it back. If I go on Amazon and I buy something and I want a refund, I probably could get the refund. I go to Walmart, I get something, and maybe it's an impulse purchase and I regret it later, I didn't open it, and I want to return it. I can get a refund off of that. However, if I spend 4 hours, 5 hours, a day, 2 days, a month, and I spent that time unwisely, I can't get a refund on it. It's already spent. I can't go back to it. And that's one of the biggest things when, if our life will be judged by our works, you know, faith is what determines, you know, our salvation. But past that, our rewards, our what will withstand the fire is those works. Those works, if our life is judged by works, time is how we manage those works. If we're wasting time doing whatever you want to input, it could be good, could be bad, whatever, but if we're wasting time and we're not using that time to do good works and good stuff, then we're not doing those good works. And so if works is what our life is judged by, and time is how we manage those works, well, then maybe we should manage our time a little bit better. Maybe we should understand, okay, what are the things in my life that can free up more time? What are the things in my life that can allow me to be more productive, allow me to be able to have more time to serve God, to serve others, more time to do take the Lord at His commandments and not waste that time. So, okay, if we could go to the first point. Okay, so my first point here, You got 13 points. Ignite your Christian life with God-given desires. So you wanna get to that day. You wanna get to that day when your works are judged and God's eternal fire is gonna come down, and you want those works to survive. And a second question, a second thing to think about is, and when you're on your deathbed, what do you want to be thinking? Hey, I lived a great life and I did this and that, or you know, what regrets will you have or not have? And what can we do now to make sure, to ensure as much as possible when we're on our deathbed, taking our last breaths, like, you know what, I wasn't perfect, I didn't do this or that, but I did my best. I did the best through the Lord, what I could do with my time, and I helped so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so, and this person is living a better life because of me, and this person is living a better life because of me. Or are you going to think, you know, when you're on your deathbed, oh, well, you know what, I have a lot of stories of adventures I did, or are you going to be thinking, oh, I got a lot of stuff. I, you know, my bank account's flush. I got, you know, the best of cars and the best of houses and whatever else. And to start now while we're young, while we're in, you know, our 20s, and while we have most of, on average, most of the rest of our lives in front of us, why not start now? Why not figure out, okay, one day I'm going to be taking my last breaths. So what do I want to be thinking at that time? How can I limit my regrets? One day I'm going to be in front of Jesus and all is going to be made bare. He's going to see everything, all my works. It's all going to be there. What can I do today? How can I start planning? How can I start dreaming? How can I start taking action today to be able to get ready for that? And so, Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. And that verse is kind of two-pronged. And when we delight ourselves in the Lord, when we find our pleasure in the Lord, he then starts giving us the desires of our heart. We start maturing in such a way, we start growing in such a way where the things that we want to do are the things that the Lord wants us to do. And those desires start coming into our life. And then at the same time, he'll give us the desires of our heart. So he's giving us the desires, and then he's fulfilling those desires. He's giving us those desires. So the Lord will say, hey, I want you to go do this and this and that and this and whatever else. And we will find fulfillment in it. And I know sometimes we look at this verse and, hey, that's great, you know, that the Lord's going to give me the desires of my heart, but yeah, I want what I want now. And here in this verse, it's past that. It takes a little bit more mature thinking, a little bit more serious thinking. It's, you know, as we find our delight in the Lord, as we grow in the Lord, he's going to bring us along. He's going to give us the desires of those of our heart, and then he's going to fulfill them. And so it kind of builds upon itself. And then, let's see, John 15:7. So abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Similar vein here, it's God saying, you abide in me, and that word abide is like living in a house. It's abiding in a house, abiding in a residence, abiding in a place. We want, and at the end of the verse, it's like Jesus, like, there's nothing, if you do this, you got a blank check. Whatever you want is yours. You can have it all. And if you do this, and so Jesus said, you know, live in me, live inside of me. And how do we do that? Live inside of the influence of Jesus. And is Jesus constantly on your mind? Are you constantly living in Jesus? Is he the filter of your thoughts? You know, before you do something, before you think something, are you, you know, kind of acknowledge, in all thy ways acknowledge him? Are you spending your time thinking, living, doing, acting, and, you know, and trying to abide in Jesus, live in Jesus? And when you do that, Jesus is like, I'm going to abide in you. I'm going to make it easier for you to be able to reside in my residence. I'm going to make it easier. And when this happens, we get a partnership between the two where it's like, you know what? At the end of the day, when you're abiding me, I'm abiding in you, whatever you want, blank check, boom, you have it. And last year, me and my wife were doing an auction. We spent a ton of time researching, studying, and we knew exactly everything we wanted to do, what prices we wanted to get, all that stuff. And in the meantime, we had this friend, and he's a businessman, and he's very successful, well-to-do, and so we brought him in, and we're just kind of explaining everything to him. He's watching the auction. The auction starts. It's like 3-4 days. He's watching it go, and he starts getting excited. And so then he calls us, and he's like, guys, just get whatever you want. I have your back. And I'm like, okay. And, you know, because, you know, I just want to be a little wise and, you know, whatever. And we had already done all the research and stuff. And so, you know, we went through that and stuff. But that, to a smaller degree, is what God will do for us. We will work hard. God's giving us the desires of our hearts. Says, I want you to go do this. I want you to go do that. Go here, go there. Like, I don't know about that. But we, in obedience, start going down that direction. And God's like, okay, you're going that direction. You know what? I'm going to supply your needs. I'm going to give you what you need and help you along the way. And so desires. Okay, everyone in this room desires to be successful. Everyone in this room desires to be a good Christian. Everyone in this room has those desires. You know, the prodigal son. And I'm sure he didn't have the desire to go and just ruin his life. He said, hey, dad, give me my money, give me my inheritance early. And I'm sure he wasn't like, hey, I'm going to take all this money, and I'm going to go and burn it all, and I'm going to go live with the pigs. And his motivations were wrong, and he had the wrong desires, but we have to be careful with how we utilize and where we put our desires. We want to be successful. We want to do this. We've got to make sure we're putting God first. Christ first and his things. And so when God says, I will give you the desires of thine heart, it's more than just, hey, I want to be successful, I want to be powerful, I want to be this or that or whatever. It's like, okay, God, I want to do what you want me to do. Give those desires to me. And I, you know, I'm an empty vessel, and let's go. So if we could go to the next point. Purge the distractions derailing your walk with God. 2 Timothy 2:4, no man that worth entangleth himself with affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And what things are derailing you? What things are sucking up your time? And I was looking this up yesterday, and the average American spends 2.5 hours every single day on social media. And, you know, it's like, What good, what benefit comes out of that? And there might be some, but 2.5 hours worth? And if 2.5 hours every single day, you count that up after a week, count that up after a year, after 10 years, 20 years, and the time sucker that happens, and what else could you have been doing in that time? The average American will watch 2 to 3 hours of TV every day. And not necessarily good, not necessarily bad. But if it's, obviously, if it's sin, it's sin. But if it's taking you away from something else, you know, video games. You know, some people have issues with video games. They're playing video games until 3-4 in the morning. Yeah, they'll play video games rather than going to the job. And does it mean video games are wrong, bad? No, but if it's taking you away from what you should be doing, then, you know, maybe we should reevaluate there. And, okay. Robert Adams said, some men die in shrapnel, some go down in flames, but most men perish inch by inch and play at little games. And, you know, when he's writing this, some people, their purpose in life, you know, their life is being squandered day by day. And he wrote this in the 1930s, and he was just talking, you know, just your life is purposeless. What are you living for? What is the greater cause of your life? What is your meaning? And you know, and some, at least some, when they go to war, some when they have a greater mission, a purpose in life, and even though their life may be cut short, at least their life had some type of meaning. And whereas most men, you know, just die day by day playing little games. And if God gives us a long life, if God gives us, you know, utilizing that time to invest in the things of the Lord is good. So, okay, point number three. Take control of your finances. And financial stewardship has more to do with wisdom, not just obtaining cash. So, random fact, most people who become millionaires sometime in their life, the people who become millionaires at some point in their life, 44.1% of those people will die broke. And so the financial stewardship is more than just a lot of zeros in your bank account. And obviously, you know, cash is nice. Cash makes people happy. And but knowing how to handle those finances, knowing how to budget. And we're young, we're college students, and it's, you know, we're coming here right out of high school. Most of the times, we've never managed a checkbook. Most of the times, it's, you know, finances are now new to us. Now we're on our own, and it's like, okay, how do I do this? Well, guess what? College is the best time to figure out how to do your finances. Best time. And if you're not good with it now, figure it out. Go talk to somebody who's good. And go figure it out and, you know, read, go on YouTube, whatever. Just find help to get better at finances. Find ways to be able to understand money better. Because what better time in your life to be able to make mistakes than now? Because at some point, you're going to have more collateral. Some point, you're going to have a family. You're going to have kids. You're not going to have the opportunity to be able to be bad with finances then. Because if you are, it's going to have significant side effects. And Luke 16:10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If he therefore hath not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches if he have not been faithful in that which is another man's? Who shall give you that which is your own? And if we cannot be good with finances, God's like, okay, well then how should you be good with people? We want to go into the ministry. We want to influence people. And so if we want to go do that, well then maybe we should start being good with the money. And the money is kind of like the training wheels in our life. And college is a great time. You know, you don't have to be embarrassed. You don't have to, hey, you're bad with finances. It's okay. Go ask questions. Go figure out from someone else who can help you. That's okay. And go get better. Because then if we can get better with finances, God's going to use that as training wheels so that one day we can solve our financial problems now, so one day we can solve someone else's family problems, moral problems. We can help them get into the groove. And finances are, it's math. It's, you know, it's a lot more simple. People are a lot more complex. And so being able to get good with finances will help us to be good with people later. And and finances is not just a guy thing. Yes, you know, the guy should be the provider and the guy should be able to be good and be able to make money. But you know, if you look at Proverbs 31, And verse 16, you know, she considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruits of her hand. She planteth a vineyard, she maketh fine linen and selleth and delivereth the girdles unto the merchants. And you just keep reading different verses in Proverbs 31. There's many verses there where it's you're finding this lady who's a business lady. She knows how to make money. She has different, you know, different attributes, and it's talking about how the cattle doesn't go out at her house, and she's staying late. You know, she knows how to stay late, and she knows how to make money, and so, you know, ladies, you should also be good at finances, because you may get married, and your husband may not be good, and you know, guys, you should be good, but your husband may not be good, and so you may have to help him. You may have to take the checkbook, and you may have to say, okay, hey, you know, I got a lot of respect for you, but you know what, let's put the training wheels on here, and let's figure this out, okay? So, and guys, if that's you, it's okay. Suck up your pride. You know, at some point, we can't let our ego get into the way of us being able to have success, us being able to. Because if we're not good with our finances, guess what happens? We're starting to drown in debt. Then what happens? You got to go get a second, third job. Then what happens? You don't have time to fireproof your works. You don't have time because now you're spending all your time working because of your bad decisions you did in your 20s and 30s. And so, guys, get good with your finances. Ladies, get good with your finances. And, you know, learn how to be able to turn a dollar into 10 and learn how to be able to save. Learn, it's, you know, get good with your finances. Now is the time when you can get good. And don't let bad debt cripple your life. And, you know, I know a pastor, and I think about this often. He would love to just be more in the ministry. He'd love to be more plugged into his ministry and his people, but he can't because his wife loves the niceties of life and is very extravagant. So because of that, he works like crazy. And it's, there's nothing wrong with being bivocational. You know, Paul was bivocational. I think my opinion is there's a lot of great pros to being bivocational. You could get into the community very easily, and there's a lot of business people you could connect with. And nothing wrong with bivocational. But if your life is not doing what the Lord wanted you to do because you're having to work all this extra overtime because you're high maintenance, well, then, you know, we got some problems. So if we could go to the next point. Be a lifelong learner. Proverbs 23:23, by the truth sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. And, you know, I'll ask my wife, you know, what's my hobby? I asked her a few years ago. I was like, what's my hobby? Because I found myself every 3-6 months, I developed a new hobby. And I was like, man, you know, I was like, do I have like any like one hobby that I really actually like? She's like, no, your hobby is hobbies. Like, oh, great. So I was like, okay, I guess my hobby is hobbies. But, you know, learning is fun. Learning can be fun. Learning allows you to be able to talk to others. Learning allows you to be able to conversate with others who aren't just like you. And learning allows you to be able to learn finances, be able to learn how to, you know, make sure your works are fireproof, make sure that you can be better with people. And it's just, especially now with, you know, all the online learning and now with AI and YouTube and whatever, we can learn anything. But being malleable to where we can be able to go ask questions and be able to know where to find the answers. And Abraham Lincoln said, give me 6 hours to chop down a tree and I will spend the first 4 sharpening the axe. And reading is so unique. It's so cool because you can take someone's life work that they spent 70 years of their life to live out their life and all these decisions and everything they put into a book. And then you can read it in 8-9 hours and be able to digest all that info. You can speed learn a whole bunch of stuff just by reading. You can kind of have a head up on people by doing that. And if we could go to the next point, get comfortable with trying again. Matthew 25:25, and I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast it, there thou hast that is thine. And so it's okay to be embarrassed. It's okay to fail. You know, this guy, he was afraid of failing. He was afraid of taking his one talent and turning it into zero. You know, we need to be okay to try. We need to be okay to try again. You fail, you try something, you fail. You know, the best soul winners likely are going to be the best, are going to be the people who've had the door slammed in their face the most. The people who are better with finances are probably the people who've had more deals go bad. And failure can be embarrassing. Others can like, hey, yeah, I don't know what you did that. You failed. And so be comfortable with trying again. Be comfortable with, hey, you know what? I messed up, whatever. I made a mistake. I'm going to learn from that, and I'm going to do better. Just be comfortable with it. Be comfortable with being able to try again. And I had labeled this point, fail hard, fail fast. And then my wife was like, yeah, maybe we should change it. So, yeah, so this is get comfortable trying again. So, yeah, this isn't talking about sin. But if we could go to the next point. Yeah. Be flexible and let God lead. And so Paul, you know, he had many times, he was like, hey, I wanted to go see you, but, and then the Holy Spirit said, hey, no, go here. Holy Spirit said, no, don't go there. Paul's like, I want to go see you, but then, you know, this happened, that happened. We need to be comfortable with being flexible. If the Lord's going to change your plans, be comfortable with him being able to change your plans and just roll with it. And Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And thanks. All right, next one. Shed the weights and sin. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. And so, as we are trying to live a better life, a more fulfilling life, as we're getting ready for the end, you know, shed those weights. What sin is weighing you down? What sin is in your life? What bitterness are you carrying? You know, what is carrying that bitterness going to do for you? When you're on your deathbed and you're like, oh, you know what? I'm glad I carried this 30-year bitterness. I'm like, good for you? I mean, what? Like, I mean, really? Like, okay, that's great. But for real. And then that bitterness is going to eat you up. And then what are you going to spend all your time thinking about? Oh, I can't believe so-and-so, you know, did so-and-so and such. It's like, come on. And then that sin that so easily beset you, and that sin that's draining all your time, you know, drop it. And so when we're at our end of our life, what are we going to be thinking about? Are we going to be thinking about, hey, I'm glad, I don't know, what's a popular mobile game, Clash of Clans or Minecraft? I don't know. Sorry. I probably just dated myself, huh? Yeah, yeah. And so are you going to be thinking about that? Like, yeah, I'm glad I made it to the leaderboard for like 10 seconds. Are you going to be thinking about, oh, yeah, hey, that one time when I was 50, I got this car. Are you going to be thinking about, man, I got some friends. I got some people that I helped. I got some, you know, me and this guy, we went and did this, and my family, my kids, my church, these missionaries. You know, there's this missionary on the field. They needed something, and I was able to be there for them because I took care of my finances. Because I was good with my money, I could be good to others. Are we going to be thinking about that? Or are we going to be, what are we going to be thinking about? Or are we going to be thinking about, man, Estes really loved me because, you know, for 60 years, I worked 80 hours, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, I mean, you know, what do we want out of life? What is our purpose? And so it's understanding, you know, build the tower now. Figure it out. Plan for it. Understand what it is that the Lord wants us to do and start planning it out now so that one day when that fire from God comes down, it can sustain. It can be, we can have fireproofed works. It can sustain the fire. Start working now for when we're on our deathbed, like, okay, you know what? I wasn't perfect. I messed up this and that, but hey, I got a solid group of friends, a solid group of people, other people in the ministry I've been able to invest in. And you know what? Like Paul said, I finished my race. Hey, you know, I am fulfilled. So if we could bow our head, close our eyes. Lord, you're so good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time you've given us, this vapor, this time on earth, being able to love you, Lord. Lord, please help us with time management and be able to know how to invest our time wisely. Help us with our finances and how we react to others, Lord, and help us to love you. Give us the right desires. Lord, you're very good to us. Amen.